intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is all about pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Yakima Herald online, Tapster.com, and Dogster Magazine. We'll start today's All About Pets with an article online from the Yakima Herald Republic. Home Alone, How to Avoid Animal Antics While You're Gone, by Christine Corbeck Conklin. Home Alone. The words evoke images of a classic movie about a young boy's hijinks when left at home by himself. However, local animal care professionals say that pets, when left home alone, are capable of plenty of mischief all on their own. There was the cat who pulled paper towels out of the cupboard, shredding with glee to create what looked like a winter wonderland in the kitchen. Dogs that wolf down everything from batteries to elastic hair ties, or have been known to eat a wedding photo album. Pets cascading objects from the top of the refrigerator to the floor. And we can't forget the house full of cats that managed to pull down full-length curtains. With a marked increase in pets being adopted during the COVID pandemic, and more people now returning to work in an office, many humans and pets are trying to adjust to a new normal, local experts say. But by taking a few precautionary steps, you may still be able to recognize your home when you return at the end of the day. When COVID hit, we had so many people who were staying at home, recalled Sherry Haga, executive director of the Yakima Humane Society. That resulted in an avalanche of applications for pet adoptions. When they started going back to work, we began to notice more strays, animals escaping. For various reasons, new pet owners also may not have had their animals spayed or neutered, resulting in a bumper crop of puppies and kittens. Now, as they go back to work, a lot of people are struggling with separation anxiety, while some of their pets were never taught to be independent, says Dr. Julie Young, co-owner of the Yakima Valley Veterinary Clinic. Cats don't care as much. They're very good at being independent, as long as they have a supply of food and perhaps a place to climb, she said. However, dogs will likely need some more attention. The most basic thing is taking a dog through an obedience class, Young suggested. There, the animal can learn that there are rules that need to be followed. It can also help to desensitize them to your leaving if you just put on your coat and don't go anywhere, or leave for a very short period of time, she said. That way, the animal can learn that nothing disastrous happens if they're left alone. Cats also can be alert to the clues you're leaving. My son's cat, Rory, runs and hides under an end table every time my son puts his shoes on. Rory has figured out that he's going to need to spend some time in his crate. It may help to crate train an animal, especially a puppy, first allowing it to eat or sleep there, the experts say. If an animal will be let outdoors, check to make sure there is a suitable fence in the yard. Spaying or neutering can help an animal resist the urge to jump the fence, Haga said. When in doubt, you can always consider doggy daycare. We're a society that's into instant gratification, Haga said. Most people want a quick and easy fix. However, effective animal care and training can take a lot of time and effort on the part of the owner. Think, what would I do with a toddler, she suggested. You want to keep them safe and occupied. The lesson we learned from the pandemic is, think about the what-ifs, added Haga. Before you adopt a pet, think about who will care for an animal if you're elderly, or if you become ill or you need to go back to work. In the meantime, there are a variety of diversions that can make the day more enjoyable for the pets you have and ultimately for you. Having the TV or radio on can help so they're not so lonely, says Lori Blanchard, co-owner of Cozy Critters, a local pet sitting and animal care business. Blanchard stops by homes periodically during the day to play with their clients' animals and make sure that everything is safe. If you need to be gone overnight, you can consider having someone come and be at your home, or at least at night, to be with the animals, she added. However, if you ask a friend or neighbor to help, make sure the individual is reliable and has very explicit instructions, Blanchard cautioned. She's heard of dogs causing thousands of dollars of damage, destroying a mattress or couch, for example, when they were not properly put back into crates as requested. As her husband, Jeff, helps clean up clients' yards, they also have witnessed the variety of objects that others left accessible to their humans. From batteries to hair ties to animals, batteries to hair ties and even a fully wrapped granola bar, which the animals have eaten and expelled. Then there was the frustrated homeowner who needed to help keep the paper towels in a safer spot to avoid his cat's fixation with shredding paper. Haga suggested setting out pup boxes for dogs with toys and puzzles to amuse them. She agreed with the idea of leaving the TV on, mentioning programs that feature animals. Even leaving music on can help. For cats, be sure to have a scratching post, maybe facing a window with a view of the outdoors. There are also battery-operated puzzle boxes and toys for cats. Birds generally do well with just a safe place to be, food and water, she added. In the evening, be sure to remove them from their cage and give them some love. For guinea pigs, chewing is a big thing, so it's a good idea to get them a wooden spoon, wooden shape to gnaw on. They're even exercise ball for rats. Boredom is what drives pets to get into trouble, Haga says. Most dogs, if left alone too long, will become destructive, agreed Young, who says she has one extremely well-behaved dog and another that is not quite as trustworthy and managed to eat her wedding photo album. Most animals are just so comfortable in their own home, Blanchard concluded. However, keep in mind that they're animals and they're going to do what animals do. Next, we'll move on to catster.com and we'll read an article from the cat behavior section titled Living in Peace in a Multi-Pet Household by Steve Dale. Why can't they just all get along? Are we asking too much for a cat and a pet rat or budgie to be best friends? The expression may be they fight like cats and dogs, but dogs and cats mostly do get along, as today about United Nations isn't called in to broker peace. However, adding a different species can be trickier than pulling a rabbit out of a hat. After all, in nature, cats and gerbils or leopard gecko lizards might not be the best pals. Merging species can certainly work out, but do so with your eyes open, warns veterinary behaviorist Dr. Elizabeth Feltes of the Behavior Clinic near Cleveland, Ohio. All animals of any species have their own histories and own personalities, that is Dr. Valerie Tynes, veterinary behaviorist at SPCA, Dallas, Texas. It's tricky in part because a cat is born with a prey drive and amplified 100-fold if there's a history of hunting rodents or birds. In these instances, adding a pet guinea pig or budgie might not be the best plan to even try. Keep critters from being stressed. The decision about who can live peacefully with whom can be nuanced. What's more, today we know about not only considering the physical well-being of, say, a domestic rat or bearded dragon lizard living with a cat, so the pet doesn't turn into lunch. We also acknowledge the importance of psychological welfare or well-being. Imagine being stared at all day by an animal who would, given the slightest opportunity, eat you up, Dr. Tynes says. Definitely being in a situation where the prey animal can see the cat, even if the cat is merely curious, can be a source of stress, says Dr. Feltes, who is also a contributor to Decoding Your Cat, authored by members of the American College of Veterinary Behaviorists. Prey species hide their distress. By the time the pet parent is seeing actual signs, like a bird feather picking, the anxiety and stress has probably been going on for some time. And most certainly, stress can lead to illness. I'm all about prevention. Keep small critters away from the predatory eyes of cats so they don't feel constantly stressed, Dr. Feltes says. A few ways to do that are, 1. House small animals or reptiles in cages or aquariums with opaque or obstructed views, so they have no clue a cat might be staring. 2. Keep the cage or aquarium out of the cat's way so he can't possibly get close. Keep the critter in a room that's off limits to the cat or high up so the cat can't jump up. Make sure there are no other close pieces of furniture allowing the cat easy access. 3. Keep doors closed. Kids are involved, stress the importance of the door always being shut. 4. Put a bell on the cat's collar so you always know where the cat is in the house. If the cat's by the cage, remove the cat from the room. How to keep the peace. If you have a multi-species household, Drs. Tynes and Feltes offer tips for different species living with cats. Birds. Small parrot species like budgies or cockatiels, or ornamental birds like finches or canaries, just aren't going to mix well with cats. Both Drs. Tynes and Feltes express concern about the small bird's well-being, even if a secure cage. Very large parrots, such as African greys, Amazon parrot species, or cockatoos, are formidable, and their beaks can seriously injure a cat. If it's a confident bird, which has a positive history with cats, I feel better about the situation, Dr. Tynes says. Parrots are brilliant, and there are even stories of some becoming cat trainers, such as imitating the sound of a can opener so that the cat comes running to the fridge to seek tuna. This might be a parrot's idea of entertainment. Dr. Feltes says that with patience and perhaps some professional guidance, you can positively habituate young parrots around a kitten so they're growing up with one another. Rabbits. Stand-up larger rabbits who assert themselves to a kitten can set the record straight from day one. However, timid rabbits who run for the hills when a cat is around can activate the feline prey drive, and suddenly the hunt is on. When introducing a cat to a rabbit, do so gradually as you would introducing a cat to another cat, Dr. Tyne says. Certainly a cat with no previous experience hunting and a rabbit who's never been hunted are most likely to work out. Reptiles. Starting with the obvious, a large snake or monitor lizard might make a meal out of a cat, and this combo would never be an appropriate mix. What's more complicated are other species who aren't a threat to cats, such as a green iguana or bearded lizard, dragon lizard. A full-grown iguana can definitely hurt a cat, but it doesn't mean the lizard isn't feeling threatened sharing living space with the cat, Dr. Tyne says. We think of welfare and psychological stress with mammal species, but we don't exactly know what lizards are feeling. Other small mammals, guinea pigs, hamsters, gerbils, rats, and chinchillas. Many YouTube videos show various small mammal species getting along just fine with a cat, even grooming one another. Dr. Feltes simply wonders, why take that chance? With a daily view of the cat, the animals may not want to come out and eat and may feel very unsafe. In all of these above cases, whenever there's any sort of animals interacting with a cat, adult supervision is required. Don't leave it to chance. Next, we'll move on to an article by Mary Tan titled Deadlines, Stories, and a Love of Cats. When a house is on fire or elections are underway, local news reporters are ready to find out the facts. But how do feline companions help them get through the stress of daily deadlines? Meet some broadcast journalists who think their cats are their savior for their sanity. Miguel Octavio, reporter WTSP-TV, Tampa, Florida. Turn on the evening news in Tampa Bay area, and you'll see Miguel Octavio covering the big stories. New to the job, Miguel is thrilled to be moving up the journalism career ladder. But as a TV reporter, it can be a nomadic life moving from city to city. That's why he's grateful the one constant in his life are his two cats, Cutie Pie, a 13-year-old long-haired black and gray kitty, and Casper, an all-black cat who's around 10 years old. Miguel's love of cats began in the Philippines, where he was born to a strong single mother, who always instilled kindness to animals in her son. There, he and his mother would feed and rescue stray cats and dogs. When he was 9, he moved with his mom to the United States in hopes of finding a better life. Despite the fact that they were immigrants in a foreign country, their love of animals continued. Miguel and his mom fostered many cats and kittens from a local foster group as they pursued the American dream. The 26-year-old recently started reporting at WTSP-TV, the CBS affiliate, and is new to the Tampa area. I moved here by myself and really didn't know anyone or the city. It's such a nice feeling to come home and have Cutie Pie and Casper waiting at the door for cuddles and pets. I'm never lonely thanks to them. To me, they're not just pets, but a source of emotional support in a very stressful, high-profile business. You can follow him on Instagram at MiguelWTSP. Heidi Wigdahl, reporter, KARE-TV, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Heidi Wigdahl is a multimedia journalist at the NBC affiliate in Minneapolis. During the protests surrounding the murder of George Floyd, the award-winning reporter was front and center and right in the thick of things. That's why when she comes home, she relishes time to relax with her young daughter, Olive, and favorite felines, Bunny Pancake and Backpack the Brave. I just love how my cats make me feel, Heidi says. They are so soothing and they greet me at the door. I'm always working to earn their trust and love because sometimes they can be shy and fearful. Bunny was found behind a Target store in Rochester, Minnesota, and adopted from a local shelter. Backpack came from a Tennessee cat rescue. As a lifelong cat advocate, Heidi has always taken special needs cats. Her late cat, Jazz Mango, had many veterinary issues. I adopted him in college and his vet bills were expensive. In hindsight, I wasn't financially prepared to take on those costs, but in the end, he was so worth it. When not working, Heidi always finds time to give back to her local cat rescues. She's emceed and volunteered at fundraising events for the Bitty Kitty Brigade, a neonatal kitten rescue, and Feline Rescue, the largest cat rescue in Minnesota. So what's her favorite story ever? Embezzlement, extortion, or illegal drugs? No way. It's reporting on the kittens at the Kitten Bowl when the Super Bowl was in Minnesota. You can follow Heidi Wigdahl at heidi.wigdahl on Instagram. Megan Shin, anchor noon and 7 p.m. newscast, WRTV-TV, Indianapolis, Indiana. As a television news anchor at WRTV, Megan Shin is used to working odd hours. But to her cats, the hours make no difference. The Indianapolis news anchor is mom to kitties Basil, a Russian Blue, and Odin, a special needs cat who only has one eye. While living and working in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Megan covered a story about the hurricane animals at the Virginia Beach SPCA, where she noticed the adorable one-eyed cat. A few weeks later, she started dating her now husband, Mike, who, much to her surprise, had adopted the special needs kitty she remembered from the stories. After Mike and Megan got married, Odin joined Basil, who Megan adopted during her time as a broadcaster in Eugene, Oregon. Like many broadcast journalists who move from city to city, having a pet just makes life less lonely. It feels like every move to a new market means I get another cat. They are the best companions for journalists. From sweet purrs to greeting you at the door and making funny news bloopers during the pandemic, they make house a home. You can follow Megan Shin on Instagram at MeganShinTV. Miranda O'Brien, anchor Good Morning KOTA territory and Good Morning Black Hills KOTA, Rapid City, South Dakota. Miranda O'Brien has always loved cats. Growing up in Martin, South Dakota, her family had multiple cats they found as strays in shelters or on farms. That's why after graduating from South Dakota State University, she got her own kitty named Jericho, who was part of a litter from her grandma's farm. Jericho has been my rock. He helped me through the end of serious relationship and adjust to living on my own. Miranda started as a reporter at her station, but quickly moved up the ranks. She used her love of cats and her passion for journalism as inspiration for writing a children's book. She hopes to get Jericho, the journalism kitty, published soon to inspire children to pursue a career in journalism and writing all through the eyes of her cat. The book is also part of a social impact community project Miranda is pursuing for the Miss South Dakota Scholarship Competition, which is part of the Miss America organization. She's been a finalist to be Miss South Dakota previously and hopes that with Jericho as her practice buddy and supporter, next year will be her year to clinch that title. You can follow Miranda O'Brien on Instagram at MOBrianTV. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine, and we'll begin with an article titled, How is Fido Feeling? By Rachel Bricks, CBCCKA, CPTDKA, and FFCP. Recent research in canine cognitive science confirms what much dog lovers already know. Dogs have feelings, but just how closely are their emotions related to ours? Dogs' brains are structured similarly, have the same hormones, and undergo the same chemical changes when experiencing emotions. But a dog's cerebral cortex is 5 times smaller. Although dogs have remarkable cognitive capabilities, their emotions are more raw, untainted by human-like analysis. A dog's emotional life is often compared to that of a 2.5-year-old child. A dog's range of emotions include attachment/love, anticipation, anxiety, fear, joy, sadness, calmness, loneliness, jealousy, and anger and aggression. So what about emotions like guilt, shame, revenge, and pride? No. These more complex emotions require context and synthesis, and current evidence doesn't suggest dogs' emotions reach this far. A classic example is soiling the floor and shredding couch pillows while you're gone. You might think your dog is getting back at you for leaving him alone. However, the emotions are more likely loneliness, fear, or anxiety, not revenge. How about more intentional emotion responses like trauma? Certified canine behaviorist Andrew Hale says yes, and it may present long-term challenges for them, as it does us. Simply put, trauma is when a negative experience overwhelms the individual's ability to cope. And given how often we put dogs into situations they can't cope with or escape from, Andrew says it's likely many dogs will experience trauma to some extent. Furthermore, he says most experts in behavioral science now agree that dogs experience post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Lori Teller, from Texas A&M University School of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences, says the symptoms in dogs parallel those in humans. Chronic anxiety, hypervigilance, avoidance of certain people, places, or situations, sleep disturbance, fear of being alone, decreased interest in favor activities or aggression. Don't overcomplicate it. Dogs live in the moment, and they tend to wear their hearts on their sleeves. Often what you see is what you get. Because dogs are nonverbal communicators, decoding your dog's feelings requires observation and context. Overall, tight, tense body parts mean a tense, stressed, or even angry dog. Loose body parts tend to indicate ease and calm. Always consider the whole dog and not just one body part. Also factor in context. The situation and environment affect your dog's behavior. Andrew says we don't need to know exactly what a dog's thinking or feeling to recognize that he's feeling something that drives his behavior and ability to process what's going on around him. In the moment. Feelings arise from emotions, and moods are the resulting mixture of feelings. While dogs may become what humans might label moody in their adolescent years, dogs generally aren't moody by definition. This is because dogs aren't usually unpredictable or prone to sudden gloominess. If you suspect moodiness, pay closer attention to the key indicators of your dog's emotions, or check to see if he's in discomfort or pain. We might label a dog as having mood swings, but that's more likely a result of dogs living in the present and more about stimuli than being moody. Research has found dogs tend to take on personalities and attitudes of their primary caregivers. A large study out of Michigan State found dogs do adjust according to our change in attitudes and emotions and tend to mirror our traits. For example, a high-strung person might have an excitable dog, or an anxious person might have a more fearful dog. A key takeaway from the study is that dogs respond to us. How we live our lives influences how our dogs experience and live theirs. We've popularized the term Velcro dog, but what if we reevaluated behaviors like pawing at us, following us around, or sitting on our feet as connection-seeking behaviors instead of attention-seeking? Or is the dog trying to tell us something? Suddenly, the context becomes much more meaningful and worthy of investigation. Ignoring dogs' emotions, or worse, punishing them, not only erodes the dog-human bond, but can also potentially create or exacerbate behavior issues. Andrew says the more elevated the nervous system, the harder it is to be able to process what's going on, which can easily leave your dog feeling overwhelmed. Often the environment, especially the social environment, moves too fast for dogs to process information safely, so a stress response is likely. Slow things down and allow your dog time to process what's happening and the space to feel safe, so your dog is more likely to cope. Learn how your dog needs to use space to feel safe and always provide for that, especially when attached to you via a leash, says Andrew. Labels like stubborn, diva, or dramatic aren't helpful. For example, dogs aren't usually being stubborn, but are more likely attempting to communicate such feelings as, I don't feel well, I'm tired, I don't understand what's being asked of me, I need better motivation, I'm not comfortable with this, I'm stressed, I don't like this, I'm scared. Instead of labeling, try to uncover what's really behind the behavior. Andrew says to truly help a dog and identify his personal care support needs, you need to learn about his emotional experience. Key principle in supporting others is understanding the need for relief. Stress is the root cause of many behavior challenges, so a deeper understanding of what your dog is feeling will help him find that relief, rather than just getting your dog to change behavior or something you want or find more appropriate. Your own behavior. Next time Fido embarrasses you by barking and lunging at another dog in public, upsets you by tearing up couch cushions while you're away, or frustrates you by jumping on guests, stop for a moment and think about your reactions. Emotions drive your behavior too. Instead of reacting, support Fido in his efforts to communicate his emotions. See how you can relieve his fear of other dogs, loneliness, or anxiety while you're away, and his joy or anxiety at seeing other people. Ultimately, dogs want to feel safe, and Andrew says time and space are everything when supporting a more sensitive or stressed dog. Give your dog time to process information or take it all in. Allow for space or movement through the environment and time for social processing. When we allow them opportunities to think and process, dogs tend to self-regulate. Seeking to understand forces you to let go of expectations and prescriptions for behavior Focus instead on compassion first and training second. When you value your dog's needs rather than focus on what he should be doing, you may be surprised to find that positive behavior follows naturally. Acknowledging dogs' emotions help them feel safe. When dogs feel good, they can live their best lives. So here's some tips for decoding dog body language. Fearful, ears pinned back, tail between legs, cowering, averted glaze, whale eye. Joy / playfulness, butt in the air and forepaws on the ground, playbell, full body wag. Happy, soft eyes, open mouth, a doggy smile, possibly tongue lolling to the side, loose, low to mid-range wagging tail. Anxious, lip licking, shaking off, panting, pacing, drooling, averted gaze, destructive behavior, restlessness, whale eye. Anger / aggression, ears pricked forward, tail high and stiff wagging, puckered mouth, growl, hard stare. Calm, relaxed body, paws possibly crossed, soft eyes, ears in a neutral position. And one more quick note, can dogs cry? A new Japanese study found dogs do secrete tears when reunited with their primary guardians, as opposed to other familiar humans. Although findings in the small study weren't conclusive, it provides pathways for more exciting research like examining the social functions of dogs' tears and whether their reactions are similar when reunited with doggy pals. We just have time for a few notes from Health Talk by Lauren Kadams. So let's start with baby talk or doggy talk. Ever catch yourself asking your pup if he's ready for a walk? Apparently we all do. In a recent Healthy Paws pet insurance survey, 80% of pet parents reported that they speak to their dogs as if they're human, while 15% reported speaking to their dogs in baby talk. 4% said they speak to their pets in grammatically incorrect ways. The final 1% only spoke to their dog to give cues or for training purposes. According to experts, the doggy talker should keep talking, as research shows that talking to your dog is a sign of loving your dog and may strengthen your bond. Pet parenting styles matter. It's not only kids who are being molded by their parents' ways. Researchers at Oregon State University found that different pet parenting styles affect the patterns of their dog's behavior. Dogs with authoritative owners, who are characterized by high expectations and high responsiveness, were the most secure, social, and sensitive to social context. They were also more persistent and successful on the problem-solving giving tasks given to them than dogs with authoritarian owners, who are characterized by high expectations and low responsiveness, and permissive owners who have low expectations and low responsiveness. The findings suggest that dog owners who take the time to understand and meet their dog needs will have more secure and social dogs. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.